Here's our guy. Thank God he's here. It makes me feel better every week when Dr. John Duffy joins us. Because I, not only am I in need of significant, mental health professionals in my life, but I think more importantly, everything I've been crazy about for years, now everyone has. Everybody's claustrophobic. Everybody is like, oh my God, what are we going to do with the kids? What are we going? How am I going to stay alive? How am I going to keep everybody in the house alive? There's a lot of stress that's come with this pandemic. And now, Dr. Duffy, I think we might have actually turned a bit of a corner here. Before we get to the phone call, 312-981-7200, I want to focus in on teenagers, and specifically, I want to focus in on video games. We teased that last week when we were talking about tweens. I think this would be a good thing for parents who are struggling with that issue, with kids who are like just all they're doing all day long, since school, if it's still in session, is really kind of a blow off thing anyway. And then you get there, they're on their computers anyway. And the next thing you know, they're socializing with the video games. But I think we've turned a corner where there is almost an internal rebellion happening here, not just of the kids, but even of the parents, because like, when are we going to get beyond this? Which it could eventually be self-defeating, could cause this to go on longer, but you can't help how people feel, can you?
You can't, and you are, I totally agree, Ro. As we talk week to week, I notice different things in the families I'm talking to, and now I do sense not this quarantine fatigue, but more this almost anger, not just at the government, but at the situation, and this, people are fed up, and as the weather gets warmer, they're far more aware of the things they're missing out on. And you do get this idea that people are restless. And despite the numbers that suggest like, oh, yeah, the numbers are going to go up and there's going to be the second bump, you can feel that there's this groundswell of like of energy suggesting like, I'm tired of staying in. I can't stay in this house another day or another week or another 6 weeks, you know.
Right.
And I think part of it is the uncertainty. A lot of people have told me, if you told me it was July 1st, I could live with that. But not knowing whether it's going to be July 1st or September 1st or whatever, I can't wrap my brain around that in order to really function well in the present.
It feels like we're about to have a Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? There's kind of this like, oh my God, I would do anything to like just get in the car and run away and then, you know, drive Cameron's dad's car downtown and go to a baseball game and a fancy restaurant and dine and dash. I mean, there is that pent upness. I notice over the weekend, if I go out and I take a walk, there's a lot of people out. I mean, it seems like almost every, if the weather's decent, it would be the same number of people that would be out without the pandemic. Now, there are more people wearing masks, which is great, but but there's a lot of people who aren't. And then there's, you know, people running, and then there's, you know, there's couples holding hands and doing all that stuff, and they live in the same house. I guess that's all good, right? But it doesn't,
absolutely.
But there's no other place to go. And I think that's really the crazy thing. I mean, it's people want to go to bars. I mentioned this. We talked about this yesterday, that all of these underground businesses that are going on right now, whether it's hair salons or nail salons or bars. I walked past a bar. It was fully in motion over the weekend,
right,
and just hoping they weren't going to get caught. So so in terms of dealing with the teenagers,
yes,
if you have the, it's one thing to have this lack of control for ourselves as the adults in the situation. But God, I mean, what do you do when you've got the teenagers that are bubbling up and you got to do something with them? And now Wisconsin won't even take us. You know, like you're going to take them up to Wisconsin for something, and they're like, no, you can't even come across the border. What are your suggestions here?
Yeah, so I think you're right that this is incredibly tricky. We feel it in ourselves. You see adults in bars downtown, despite the fact that we're not supposed to do that. The teenagers I'm working with, Ro, have gone from, and I'm not exaggerating, on Zoom calls, gone from week one, sitting up straight, looking me in the eye, telling me what's going on in their lives, to like reclined on a bed. I know there's three screens going on at once, and they're having a harder and harder time engaging. And I don't think it's just broad depression. I think they're just honestly bored out of their minds and listless and just anxious to get out and do something. And so what I'm encouraging is for people to get really creative about getting out and doing something. So there are these things, these trunk parties that kids are putting together where they're separated, but they're together enough that they can talk to each other and be in the same space roughly. I encourage that because I think if we don't allow our kids some time together, they're going to find it. I have heard from way too many teenagers and tweens saying, I'm planning on sneaking out of the house late tonight because I can't take it anymore. I've got to be with people my age. I can't stand my parents. I can't stand my family. And I feel like I'm just going to lose it if I don't get to spend some time with people my age. And they're not just being selfish. They're being honest. Like, you know, this is developmentally, they're supposed to be out there socializing. Nothing about this is normal for them. So it's completely reasonable, that desire to get out there and be with people.
And I hate to ask this question, but when the kids tell you that they want to sneak out of the house, what's your obligation to that if that's potentially dangerous to them?
Yeah. So and this has happened more than once, and my line is typically, to be honest, I kick it down the road a couple weeks. I say, you know what? I get it. Let's talk about this when we talk next week. And, you know, because I figure every day I buy where kids are social distancing might be a hair more safety for somebody somewhere, yeah. You know? And I kind of plant the seed in kids' minds that this is not going to be forever and they would regret if something went sideways, you know? And, and most, even kids who are anxious to get out there, they can wrap their brains around that.
Okay. Go to the phones, 312-981-7200, as they like to say in every talk radio movie. Matt, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, folks. Hi, Doc. You may remember me from last week. I'm the uncle who called. I am now calling about my own mother. She is, I'm not going to say her age, but she's in the 7 range of the first number in her age. Mm-hmm. And she has been locked up a little bit longer than everybody else because she decided to quarantine herself like 2 weeks earlier than everybody else. I'm over there every day taking care of her and then going home. My biggest worry for her is that it's starting to affect her mentally. I mean, not just having me there every day, which, of course, would affect anybody mentally, but the fact that she's starting to forget things. She's starting to she can't find things. I need to help her with every technological thing on the planet, which I was always kind of helpful with that, but now it's to an extreme. And I have a feeling, and I don't want to scare anyone, but I have a feeling this is going to go on longer than May. So how do I make sure that she's not losing it?
Yeah.
Great question.
So, Matt, there's a couple of things here. First of all, I think you're onto something here. I think that I work with a few elderly folks, and I've noticed that they are struggling kind of cognitively. They feel like a few things are slipping memory-wise, and they just don't feel as sharp as they once did. So I've had a couple of people tell me they feel like they're aging quickly through this period of time. What I found helps mitigate that are some very funky things. First of all, frequent visits like what you're doing, going to see her every day, that seems to help a lot. That social contact for anybody who is elderly or anybody who is isolated alone, you know, to have some social contact, whether it's virtual or whether it's in person through a glass window or 6 feet away, seems to help people a great deal in maintaining their emotional well-being. In terms of keeping sharp, honestly, what I read a study recently that seems to bear up in some of the people I'm working with, that if you do a crossword puzzle, if you watch Jeopardy, if you do something to keep your mind sharp, if you play cards with some other people, virtually or otherwise, this stuff that we have been saying for a very long time helps keep us all sharp. Right now, it's probably more important than ever that some elderly folks stay engaged in some of this stuff. And to the extent that we can instill hope for the future in them. So, like, I got your point about, like, you know, I think this is going to go on longer than May. And some of the folks I'm working with would agree with you, but they're using words like yet at the end of their sentences. So we haven't been out of the house or out of the retirement home yet, but they're planning on it, you know. And I think as long as they can lay that plan out for the future, that lays some hope out. And that also is really, really important for some of the people who are elderly and alone. So great question.
Yeah. Thank you. If I may expand just for 1 second.
Yeah.
My father lives in a nursing home up in Glenview. He is a little older than my mother, and obviously I literally physically cannot go see him because I can't go in there.
Right.
And he's not in a position to Zoom. He calls me by accident and then calls me back assuming that I called him. So he doesn't really know how to work technology that well. I mean, I talk to him as much as I can, but he really wants to see me, and I if I see him, then they're going to lock him in his room in the nursing home for 2 weeks. So
how do you communicate that? Is that your issue?
Because, okay. I mean, what's a good way? I literally can't come see you.
Okay, Dr. Duffy. Yeah.
Right. So I think the right answer there, Matt, is to be really pragmatic with your dad and let him know, I cannot come see you now. That's for your safety. But the moment I can, I will be there. And if there is somebody on the unit who can either deliver a message or get FaceTime or something like that going for him so that he can at least see your face. I've worked with a few people who have been able to manage that with their parents who are in nursing homes or other type of, like, elder care facilities, and that seems to go a long way. But at the very least, let him know, when I can get there, I will get there. But right now, I just can't do it, and that's for your safety. And you can recognize and acknowledge that, you know, that is not how you want it, and that's, you know, kind of a bummer. We're both really unhappy about that, and as soon as we can change it, we will.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.
All right. Linda, you're on WGN. Dr. John Duffy is who we're talking with. He is a clinical psychologist, and he's a family therapist. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety is his book. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, Doctor. I'm just calling regarding a college graduate who, you know, same type of thing. They're going through anxiety and anxious and all that type of thing. And what information can you give them or to help them to process the new normal now and to get what steps to go through in order to find a job, because they're kind of stuck at home right now, and that's weighing on the mind?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm working with a few people who are right in that space. There's this expectation that things kind of move quickly. A lot of people, by the time they're at this graduation point, want to already have the job in place. And I'm working with some people, I don't know if this is true of your child, Linda, who had the job and then lost the job once the shelter in place hit. So there's a lot of disappointment out there. So the key is to kind of downshift the expectations for the immediate and maybe look for something temporary so they feel like, okay, I'm progressing. I'm moving the ball forward a little bit. But finding that full-time permanent job, it's just not that pragmatic to do that right now in most fields. So I'm going to have to move that down the road at least a couple of months and get back to that and try to keep myself occupied in the meantime. And for some people, they want to learn to cook or they want to get in really good shape. And these months might be a good way to do that. But most of the college grads I'm working with want to get to work, so they're working in Amazon or they're working delivering something just so they are occupied. And for the time being, that almost has to be good enough, recognizing that the good stuff's still going to come.
You know, that sounds good, Doctor. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. You've hit on something interesting, too, is that I think people under the age of 25 specifically, maybe 30, they look at this and they're like, well, this isn't really going to affect me because that's they they want to be out, and it's sort of like, this is my parents' problem or my grandparents' problem or somebody else's problem, and they're having trouble understanding this, especially, and I want to go back to teenagers here, you know, this is their first time experiencing everything, right? I mean, this is no matter what it is, and so their analysis of it is going to, they think a lot of these things are sort of, you know, why did the adults figure this out before? Why couldn't they, you know, they'll know what to do. Why is it my problem? Why can't I do what I want to do? Are you hearing that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the teenagers I'm working with are super frustrated with the adults, with the systems around them of politics and medicine and everything else that isn't solving this problem to their satisfaction in a rapid fashion, right? Because not only are they new to this, but they're used to a world, if you think about it, Ro, of pretty immediate gratification. Like we were talking about video games a moment ago, or, you know, everything that they do on their phones, things come to them very, very quickly. And now all of a sudden, everything's come to a halt, and they've got to acclimate to this idea that, you know, like, oh, I guess I'm now going to have to shift my expectations of what the world is going to provide to me completely and learn patience. And there's something really potent about that, right? We're learning competence and resilience and patience and all these good things. But for a lot of these kids, they're just really, really frustrated. And more often than not, I'm finding they're taking it out on the family that they are quarantined with. And that's not always going swimmingly within households.
Yeah. I want to go back to video games here. So kids, when parents are like, I don't know what to do with them, and they go play a video game. I think the war about screen time is being lost here by most parents. What do you tell parents to look out for in terms of, say they've given up on that, but in terms of that sort of hallucinatory effect that video games can have? And it changes kids, and even adults, but kids primarily, the way they interact back with their parents or anybody else.
Absolutely. So there's such a struggle right now with how to conceptualize video games, because if you asked me this, of course, 3 months ago, I would have said, like, hey, put that in the margins of your kids' lives. We do not want that to be the main event in any one of their days. It's aggravating, depressing, anxiety provoking, all sorts of negative emotional effects. And now even the WHO is saying, ooh, video games are kind of a health measure, and if your kid is playing 5, 6, 7, 10 hours a day right now, that's probably okay. But you're right. There are short-term and long-term effects to this. The parents are finding it really, really frustrating and difficult to get their kids off of games, and they have no leverage, if you think about it, to stop them. In other words, you know, normally you would say, you know, I'm going to take something away. But when there's a quarantine going on, grounding is not an option. And, you know, taking phones away is not a very good option. So parents feel a little handcuffed, and they don't know how to cap a limit on video games. So what I'm encouraging them to do is to front load the day with the things that need to be done. Front load the day with the homework and the chores and getting out and about and getting some exercise, so that video games don't consume every moment of the day. And then you might give up the fight. You know, if you can put it in the margins and start late in the afternoon, early in the evening, then maybe you give up and you let it go for a while. But I am worried about how this is going to play out on the back end, because there is truly such a thing as addiction to video games. And a lot of kids describe to me, like, I have a real hard time putting down that controller. This is not going to work out very well for me over time, and I'm afraid. So I'm a little concerned about how we're going to manage this months down the road when these kids get very acclimated to playing for hours and hours every single day.
It becomes their identity. I mean, literally, their identity, their screen identity, literally. Especially if they're playing, in not just with them, you know, on their own, but they're also playing, you know, in the group setting or competing against each other. You know, it's an absolutely crazy situation. All right, Dr. John Duffy, thank you. You've made me feel better, at least for the hour. I think that's the whole point of what this is about. You could send the bill to WGN. All right, Dr. John Duffy, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ro.